This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is the back-to-school series. We've done this for several years now with the school year underway. And today we're going to check in on the Winston-Dillard School District. Superintendent Kevin Wilson, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, first of all, to let people know, when did you begin the school year? What were those first days like?
So we started Monday, August 25th. So a little bit earlier than, a lot of the school districts in Douglas County started, the day after Labor Day this week. So we got a week under our belt ahead of time. And those first days are always awesome because you see the kids coming back from the summer and everyone's excited. And so we do a soft start with our elementary schools, and there's a soft start with the lower levels of even the secondary schools. So it's a nice week to just get back in the flow of things and get everyone acclimated, and your bus routes and your food service and all of those things, hopefully in good working order, so we can really fire away, so to speak, this week.
And so kind of get all the kinks rolled out.
Yeah, work those kinks out.
So how's enrollment looking? And I know it's at the beginning, you don't totally know.
Yeah, we're looking like on paper and that we're just slightly up from where we ended. We were about 1,278, so 1,278 in June of 25. And so we're just right hovering around 1,300. So there could be a slight uptick. But, after they call it the 10-day drop. So you're looking at students whom have, do have absences right now, and whether those students are really in their seats or not. We're still working through those details even now.
And you've always got some people that are still out on a different travel schedule, or people that have just moved into the area and are still getting organized and all that.
True.
So anything in terms of new programs or administrative staff or special things for the district?
We haven't had a lot of changes. With it last year being my first year, we spoke a lot about, purpose, belonging, and academic achievement at the beginning of this school year. So we have a new Winston Middle School principal, and so that was a shift from the district office to the middle school. We're excited about a program. It's a Center for High School Success that we've been doing in regards to keeping our ninth graders on track, and our graduation rate, our five-year cohort rate. So a lot of the things that we're doing at the high school level to try to get kids to the finish line, we're going to implement that system at the middle school, 6, 7, 8. So we're excited about that implementation. And really, we're just trying to keep it simple. It seems like there's always, even there's a pre-COVID, post-COVID in terms of the way we look at things. And there's always that, next new shiny thing that you're looking at. And we're really trying to get away from that and just pull it back and say, hey, look, let's find purpose and belonging for our students. And then let's provide, really good instruction for them so they can learn.
Talk more about what you're going to do to help the ninth graders. There's so much data about being on track at the end of your ninth grade year, making a huge difference about how you finish.
I think identifying the students as they move through this first 9 weeks. And so I think having those markers, so to speak, and checkpoints of identifying, the students whom after a quarter or 9 weeks of school are going to need some additional support, and then just try to providing those services and those interventions for that second 9 weeks. So when they get to that first, transcripted grading period, they're all on track.
And, one of the things, too, is kids move in. I mean, every district does things a bit differently. Different states have different things. And just making sure when kids are at that point that you can help them, maybe from where they went to school before, maybe some of the things they missed along the way or hadn't been taught yet, kind of get them on track.
Absolutely. And I think that's where that purpose comes in. So that's why we really want to, we're using the term purpose for a reason. And we, you know, building those connections with each and every one of our kiddos and finding out what their purpose is, what they want. And that's, we know that that can be tough for 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, the whole, all the way through the secondary. We're, you know, we're trying to, you know, build those connections with those kids and give them opportunities so they can find their own purpose and we can facilitate that.
Talk about your funding picture. How's things looking for this year?
Well, the legislative session ended, and so we got the $11.36 billion. So they did a good job of getting that. Kind of the news moving towards that, though, is that the revenue forecasts haven't been fantastic, that we've seen even the May forecast was down. We just had a recent forecast here last week that wasn't rosy, so to speak. So in terms of the biennium, you know, the 2025 to 2027 biennium, that money that was allocated to the state school fund, it's a little bit early, obviously, as we just enter 25 to panic by any means. But we're keeping our eyes on revenue forecasts and then trying to determine, you know, how much money will be coming in regards to, you know, providing services and staffing and all of those things that are fiscal related.
So year two as a superintendent, having gotten through year one, you've got to be able to take a deep breath.
Yeah, a little bit, or the sophomore slump, depending on how you look at it. No, I'm joking. But yeah, it's now that the you know, the honeymoon's over, so to speak, and we're identifying, you know, what the job entails. Not that I didn't prior to, but there's nothing more valuable than experience. I mean, you can sit there and read a book and you can try to figure out, you know, what in your mind, what you think it's going to be. But until you're in the seat, working with your administrative team, working with your building level teams, working with all of the folks that you need to work closely with to provide educational services in this day of age, you have a lot. I have a lot better understanding of allocation of time, prioritization and those things. So that's good.
Talk about your background in education and what led to you becoming superintendent.
Well, I started teaching at the high school. You know, I was a PE teacher and a health teacher and a coach up at the high school, at Douglas High School, for 8 years. And then I moved into administration and was an assistant principal and an athletic director for 3 more years. So I spent 11 years at Douglas High School and still amazed every time I go up there and see that brand new building and those facilities now. It's amazing. And then I moved down to the elementary level and became an elementary school principal for 6 years. So, and then last year was my first year as superintendent. So really having that, you know, that being a secondary person and being in the extracurricular kind of activity, extracurricular activity world, and then getting that, you know, the elementary experience, I loved that. It was, never would have thought I would have enjoyed being an elementary principal as much as I did, but those were an amazing 6 years, and I was grateful for that opportunity.
When did you know in your younger years that you wanted to be in education?
Well, my grandma was a teacher, and my uncle was a teacher, my dad's brother. And so, but I mean, in terms of just me knowing, I knew that I really loved school, loved going to school, loved competing in athletics and extracurricular activities. So, I mean, it was always just kind of underlying. I don't think I really consciously knew until I decided to do it, so to speak. And that was a little bit later than your. I went, after I was done with college, I went overseas for a little bit and did some traveling, and then I came back and really committed to the education piece.
Were there other fields that you looked at?
No.
So you didn't have this. So this, once you got settled, you were set.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is starting my 19th year in Winston-Dillard. So it seems like it was yesterday, actually. And so that's how quick it goes. And I set my mind to it. And now it's I feel grateful and excited and privileged that I get to start year number 19 with Winston-Dillard.
And that's kind of a unique experience to work your way through from a classroom teacher at the principal levels, and now the superintendent, and still stay in the same district, a lot of people can't achieve that.
Yeah, yes, that it is, and I would argue that that's a strength, that knowing the community, knowing your own weaknesses, you know, and knowing growing and building those relationships over time in different roles, and you know, I think that that's a strength for really my own perspective, and I think it's allowed me to kind of understand that we never stop learning. And you never stop growing. And we talk about being a lifelong learner. And then a lot of the times it's like, well, what does that mean? It literally means that we're going to learn and grow and make mistakes and need supports and need to build relationships to be effective.
All right, got to take a break. More when we come back. Looking at the Winston-Dillard School District Superintendent Kevin Wilson, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. We take a break from the Back to School series next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and look back at the Archie Creek fires 5 years later. Under Sheriff Brad O'Dell, also Matt Hill, and Jenna Beam, all are going to be on between Monday and Wednesday's programs as we look back at Archie Creek. But the Back to School series, looking at Winston-Dillard School District Superintendent Kevin Wilson in today. What about infrastructure needs for the district? I mean, every district in Douglas County, you've got a mix of newer but also largely older buildings, and sometimes that's a big challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're always that's always a priority in terms of our strategic plan and you know, physical safety of our buildings. And to your point, you know, if we do have older buildings, you know, identifying what the needs are, whether it's roofing or otherwise. Most of the ones that we've been focused on right now have been safety, you know, kind of coming out of COVID. And then so we have vestibules, access control doors when folks come into your buildings, and be able to, you know, meet their needs in a safe way before, without, you know, them having access to the entire building. So McGovern Elementary and Looking Glass Elementary have received last summer, 25, summer of 25, have received vestibules. Winston Middle School in the summer of 24 got their vestibule. And so we feel really good about all of our buildings and the upgrades that have been made in regards to safety. And then, you know, our maintenance manager, we have a great maintenance manager, facilities guy. And so it's constant. And we're just always identifying, observing, listening to our community and our staff about what our needs are.
You know, it's interesting, those vestibules. I mean, I'm kind of an architectural geek, and as this process started to roll out in different districts, I just stared at various buildings and thought, how on earth are they going to do that? Because so many had this plan where you could basically walk on the property and go anywhere, which when those buildings were built, nobody gave a second thought about that. But in the last 20 years, that just isn't safe.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, that's not the case anymore. And so, like you said, a lot of the older buildings just weren't designed for safety. And so, yeah, we've been creative. And then really, it's just a matter of, you know, you're getting in there and getting engineers to engineer, you know, safe upgrades. And then you're building walls and changing things out. And it really is a larger construction project than one might think. But ultimately, you know, you can't place a value on student safety. So it's important that we do it.
Along with safety, what about mental health? I mean, the last few years, that's been more of an issue with students. How do you feel like they're doing these days?
I think that, we understand, we understand the nuances and the way things have changed even in the last decade. In regards to you know, devices, personal electronic devices, and really the, you know, the operating procedures of our students and the things that they're interested in. So we are committed to identifying and providing those mental health services, and they look a lot different. You know, the Student Investment Act actually, you know, the state just allocated just over $1 billion to the student investment account. We use a lot of our money in Winston-Dillard for those child development specialists, counselors, you know, additional elective teachers. So I mean, you gotta give the kids the opportunity and to have a plethora of things that they, you know, that will meet their interests. And then you also have to be very, you know, upfront with providing those development and social emotional learning is what we call it now, but it's really more of the mental and behavioral plus social emotional learning. So it's quite dynamic, but we have the resources, and you got to have a good plan, and then you got to go get it done.
There's always a lot of things to do, to deal with running a school district. And then not all that far back, an executive order came out of Salem regarding cell phones in schools. So that goes into effect in January, and you've got to have a plan here, I think, by the end of this month. So how do you deal with that?
Policy. So OSBA, Oregon School Board Association, has give us a policy to look at, and you know, Executive Order 25-09. You know, the governor's cell phone ban policy. So we are looking at policy right now, working with our administrative team, trying to communicate with our parents in regards to, you know, what's coming. As you mentioned, school districts must have an adopted policy by the end of October, so October 31st. So we're going to be on pace for getting our proposed policy in front of our school board and community, and letting them kind of digest that over the next couple months, and then ultimately implementing that cell phone policy. It's actually called Personal Electronic Devices Policy by January 1st, 2026. So I think just having those conversations, you know, I think that there's a lot of research and there's a lot of evidence that supports, you know, putting that thing away when you're in school. And they call it a bell to bell. So, you know, when that first bell rings, until that last bell rings for you to leave, let's focus on, you know, instruction and learning and or whatever it may, interactions with your peers and all of those things. So I know that there's been a lot of pros and cons and different topics that have come up, but ultimately, you know, we're committed to that order, and we want to make it a positive. You know, we don't want to make it a negative. And I think if anything, you know, I don't think anyone's going to argue that, you know, taking these devices away during the school day is going to, you know, restrict the amount of time that they're going to have with them anyway. So I think that it's really more of a just communication thing, you know, communicating and allowing your community and your parents and your students to have a voice in regards to what their concerns are, and then being really, really specific and transparent about the reasons why that, you know, we're implementing the policy. And that's to provide, you know, to keep them safe and really try to give them those skills, those, whether you want to call them, you know, job-related skills or career-related skills, college and career-related skills, so they can be successful moving forward.
Well, and you think maybe if you get a few years up the road with this type of plan, there's going to be a point you look back where younger students are going to say, wait a second, you used to be able to have your phone on in class?
Yeah. I mean, I hope that could be it. If I would argue that if that was the case, that we're saying that a decade from now, well, then, you know, perhaps we'll be in a little bit better space for some of those mental and behavioral and social emotional, you know, I don't want to call them issues, but just realities that we have as that brain develops. And, you know, if you even going back to 2000, if you will, or whenever the, you know, whenever cell phones really became prominent. If you even want to go 2005, 2010, even that much as 15 years ago, I think that we now have some data and some information and some evidence that supports putting those away while you're trying to learn is not a terrible thing.
As we wrap up, what's the biggest thing you're looking forward to this year?
I think just working closely with our staff and our students and our community with, you know, people who are passionate about teaching and learning, you know, and there's no, if you work in schools and you're in education, you should be inspired and you should be excited. And, you know, you should bring that energy to the workplace and the school place every day. And I think just in working with our staff and our community, and then seeing those kids, I'm excited to have an opportunity to be in an industry that has such a large impact on, you know, giving kids opportunities to succeed.
All right, and it is Superintendent Kevin Wilson from the Winston-Dillard School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.